Are you about 15 plus or 40 plus and still watching animated PG movies by yourself? Do all your friends and family make fun of you for watching animated films like Finding Nemo or Shrek? Well then, you're not alone. In society today, anyone of a certain age is told to watch anything rated for more mature audiences, leading them to leave a sense of childhood behind. For those who watch PG movies, they are just considered childish and simple. In reality, some people just enjoy something that is a change of pace from all the vulgar language, blood, guns, drugs, and sexual content. They have fun watching something appealing and enjoyable that looks beautiful whenever you look at it. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Welcome to this week's Infinitely Curious program of ERT and the Voice of Greece. This Sunday, we will dive into the psychology of animation and try to understand why motion brings so much emotion and why cartoons can be so attractive no matter how old we are.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm going to the finish because I need finish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I want some galookas, which hates all palookas, what hates on the up and square. Why, fifth and I bottom, and always I'll rough them, but none of them gets nowhere. If anyone dares to risk me this, it's pop and it's wham, understand? So keep good behavior, that's your one lifesaver, with Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
I remember playing charades a week ago, and almost no one could guess any Disney character without additional help from another outside participant. It honestly hurts me that people can't remember iconic characters like Tiana from Princess and the Frog or Squirt from Finding Nemo, movies that they call childish.
Make your own choice. I'll go now.
No!
What? What?
How are you doing that?
It's a magic carpet.
It's lovely.
You don't want to go for a ride, do you? We could get out of the palace, see the world.
Is it safe?
Sure, do you trust me?
What?
Do you trust me?
Yes.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world.
Now I'm in a whole new world with you.
Unbelievable sight. And a
Don't you dare close your eyes. Hold your breath, it gets better.
I'm like a shooting star. I've come so far. I can't go back to where I used to be.
This avoidance of animated movies stems from the fact that people don't want to do anything that will make them seem weird to their peers. Even if someone does watch anything that was produced for a younger audience, they will try to hide the fact that they do. And as a result, they hold a piece of themselves back from being comfortable with something that they enjoy doing. Some even hide behind the excuse of, "I watched it with my little sibling or cousin, but that's about it," to lead people to believe that they watched it under family circumstances. This can also be blamed on the living environment of a child. There are children that have been known to watch rated R movies at the age of 10, which generally makes them experience more mature and adult content that makes them believe that they're more mature and evolved than others their age. For example, back in 2015, there was a particular movie called Deadpool that many kids came back to school and told their friends they had seen it. This caused them to look superior to the kids around them that were too young to watch it and were told by their parents that they could watch it when they're older. This can end with some kids leaving the animated PG movie and trying to transition to higher rated movies that could make them more popular with their classmates in the same way the other kid is. This leads to a cycle that never ends. So the idea for this show came to me when my 9 and 11-year-old nieces told me that they are no longer interested in watching cartoons, but would rather watch teenage movies with real-life characters in the same notion with those kids who wanted to prove how mature they were when they watched Deadpool. The last 2 years, characters such as Wednesday have influenced a whole dress code and attitude culture for young kids aged 7 and older all around the world. It could well be a cartoon character, but it isn't, thus making kids feel more mature to watch a horror Netflix series, even if that means more nightmares for them. And on top of that, it can also be blamed on the parents. Everyone has been in a conversation with friends and compared what their parents will let them do. Things like, "My mom lets me stay up past midnight," "My mom lets me eat cake for breakfast," or "I get to watch adult shows." All I can say about that is that parents need to be more accountable for what their child does and doesn't do. Evidence can be found in the current state of YouTube. Starting at about 2013, there have been many allegations that YouTubers were making the internet inappropriate for their children. Many new age parents don't grasp the concept that they need to do a better job at monitoring their kids and making sure that they aren't watching or doing anything they shouldn't be doing. They go as far as to blame the world for making the things that are inappropriate for their children instead of doing what they are signed up to do when they bore them. This has gone as far as ruining other people's careers and lives just because of them just doing their jobs and being themselves. For example, there is a YouTube channel named SML that specializes in making skits with puppets that are made for an older audience. Because they use puppets, parents assume that they are child-friendly when they aren't. This leads to parents blaming this channel and doing everything in their power to take this down because their little kids are watching them, showing a complete disregard for the parents taking responsibility for their neglectful actions of their children. All these things are what lead younger children to quickly abandon living the child life that they have and progressively start off shunning anyone that dares to avoid more mature and grown-up content at younger ages, which leads to anyone that still decides to watch anything that is considered for kids being called childish and telling them that they need to grow up. Moliminus explains that in his 8-minute video on YouTube perfectly well.
In the West, we love animation. You know, that's a huge staple of our entire society. Film, animation, music, all that stuff. But we're kind of taught that we have to grow out of certain things when we get to the adult years. Time to throw away the toys and the dollies and move away from video games and TV. But our generation, our youthful one, we kind of throw all of that out the window. shows like Steven Universe, MLP even, Gravity Falls, Star vs. the Forces of Evil, Adventure Time, all shows cater to kids on a kids network, and yet it has a sizable adult fan base. So why are these people bothering to write such creative shows that are targeted at people who really can't appreciate it for what it is a lot of the time? Not to say that all kids can, but a lot of the subtle stuff that these show writers and creators do go completely unheard by these kids. If you're targeting your show at 12-year-olds, the majority of them are tuning in and then tuning out. They're really watching on autopilot for about 5 minutes before they get distracted, because we're also the generation of ADHD. Take for instance an MLP. There was an episode where a character Cadence was replaced by a shapeshifter named Queen Chrysalis. She was pretending to be Cadence, and she had a song called This Day Aria, which sounded like an amazing hit that would come from like Disney or something. To this day, I think it's actually the most viewed MLP song ever. But in there, they use a note that's called a deceptive cadence. The character's name is Cadence, and this is the deceptive cadence. It's such minute detail that no kid is going to look into this or even notice that. Granted, most non-music majors wouldn't notice it either, but it was still pretty amazing. But why bother? In places like Japan and probably China, though I'm admittedly unfamiliar, animation is kind of seen as something that is for all ages. That's why you have so many animes with adult themes and adult scenarios. And I'm not just talking about hentai and ecchi stuff. I'm talking about shows like Cowboy Bebop, Big O, Ghost in the Shell. But over in America, that's not how we are. But that doesn't mean that we're still not craving animation. And studios know that if they cater to both the adults and the kids, they can double dip. The kids will love to see the shows for its colorful nature, the random action, and the lol random humor, while the adults tune in for a deeper connection. And if the adults like what the kids are watching, they're going to be way more likely to allow the kids to watch it too. It stops being a chore to let your kids watch something on the TV, and it starts being a bonding experience, bringing families together. And when families have a common interest, a lot of the times you're going to spend more money. Now you're getting toys for the kid, but you're also getting a special limited edition for yourself. Animation is huge. There's a lot you can do with the medium. I don't think just simply because something is 2D, it lacks the ability to have depth and tackle some extreme topics. We've seen time and time again shows like Steven Universe tackle things such as rape and abuse and all kinds of different topics that no one would think that a cartoon would ever cover. Shows aren't just for kids anymore. They're not just for adults either. They're for everyone. It's a weird time. I think cartoons have really evolved. People think that cartoons is a negative word. Whenever I call an anime a cartoon, people get offended because they see the word as something being lesser, something that's not as developed or refined as anime. And that's just not the case. I think we need to start reevaluating what it is to be a cartoon. It's not just sunshine and rainbows and fart jokes anymore. There's plenty of that. But it's something more. And it's something unique as opposed to what it once was. It's evolved and matured. Sadly, it's taking American television longer and longer to adapt to that. We really only have one network that caters to adult animation that is strictly adult animation, that covers more topics, and that would be Adult Swim and Toonami. But really, the only things that are serious dramas that aren't just comedy are just dubbed anime. So while cartoons are becoming more adult, we haven't fully crossed that line where we get a cartoon that's Ghost in the Shell. Something that's a crime drama or makes you really think, that's really not meant for kids at all. It seems like in America, we want to have our cake and eat it too. Whereas Japan will have things separated out. We want to be able to cater for kids and adults. And unfortunately, when you do that, you do lose a bit for both. There has to be a compromise somewhere. Shows like Adventure Time are great, but they're not on the level of Big O or even Immortal Grand Prix. There's no Gurren Lagann equivalent in the cartoon world. There's no Ghost in the Shell equivalent. Action cartoons have largely died out. I think the last great one was probably Teen Titans, Symbionic Titan, and really I think that was it. So while we've refined a little bit, I think we still have some growing to do. We're not on the level that I want us to be, that's for sure. Japan's definitely got its beat in that department. So why do adults love cartoons? Because they're not cartoons anymore. They're something else. They're animated, and they definitely can be silly, but they're deeper than what people feel that word is. And I think that's something special.
Look at me. I will never pass for a perfect bride or a perfect daughter. Can it be? I'm not meant to play this part. Now I see that if I were truly to be myself, I would break my family's heart.
But cartoons are all about saying complicated truths in simple and innocent drawings. And this is what makes them so powerful. Because on the outset, they look childlike and hilarious, but they can touch upon extremely important and sensitive issues. Swiss editorial cartoonist Patrick Chapaté makes a poignant case for the power of the humble cartoon. His projects in Lebanon, West Africa and Gaza show how, in the right hands, the pencil can illuminate serious issues and bring the most unlikely people together.
So, yeah, I'm a newspaper cartoonist, political cartoonist. I don't know if you've heard about it, newspapers, you know. It's a sort of paper-based reader. It's lighter than an iPad. It's a bit cheaper. You know what they say? They say the print media is dying. Who says that? Well, the media. But this is no news, right? You've read about it already. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has gotten smaller. I know it's a cliche, but look. Look how small. How tiny it has gotten. And you know the reason why, of course. This is because of technology. Yeah. Any computer designers in the room? Yeah, well, you guys are making my life miserable. Because trackpads used to be round, you know, a nice round shape that makes a good cartoon. But what do you want to do with the flat trackpad, those square things? There's nothing I can do as a cartoonist. Well, I know the world is flat now. That's true, and internet has reached every corner of the world, the poorest, the remotest places. Every village in Africa now has a cybercafe. Don't go asking for a frappuccino there. So we are bridging the digital divide. The third world is connected. We are connected. And what happens next? Well, you've got mail. Yeah. Well, the internet has empowered us. It has empowered you. It has empowered me. Well, it has empowered some other guys as well. You know, these last two cartoons, I did them live during a conference in Hanoi. And they were not used to that in communist 2.0 Vietnam. So I was cartooning live on a wide screen. It was quite a sensation. And then this guy came to me. He was taking pictures of me and of my sketches. And I thought, this is great, a Vietnamese fan. And as he came the second day, I thought, well, that's really a cartoon lover. And on the third day, I finally understood the guy was actually on duty. You know. So by now, there must be 100 pictures of me smiling with my sketches in the files of the Vietnamese police. No, but it's true. The internet has changed the world. It has rocked the music industry. It has changed the way we consume music. For those of you old enough to remember, we used to have to go to the store to steal it. And, well, it has changed the way your future employer will look at your application. So be careful with that Facebook account. Your mama told you, be careful. And technology has set us free. Well, this is free Wi-Fi. But yeah, it has. It has liberated us from the office desk. Right? This is your life. Enjoy it. Yeah, in short, technology, the internet, they have changed our lifestyle. Tech guru, like this man that a German magazine called the philosopher of the 21st century, they are shaping the way we do things, they are shaping the way we consume, they are shaping our very desires. You will not like it. And technology has even changed our relationship to God. You know? Now, I shouldn't get into this. You know, religion and political cartoons, as you may have heard, make a difficult couple ever since that day of 2005 when a bunch of cartoonists in Denmark drew cartoons that had repercussions all over the world, demonstrations, fatwa, they provoked violence, people died in the violence. This was so sickening, people died because of cartoons. And I mean, I had the feeling at the time that cartoons had been used by both sides, actually. They were used first by a Danish newspaper which wanted to make a point on Islam. You know, a Danish cartoonist told me he was one of the 24 who received the assignment to draw the prophet. 12 of them refused. Did you know that? He told me, nobody has to tell me what I should draw. This is not how it works. And then, of course, they were used by extremists and politicians on the other side. They wanted to stir up controversy. Well, you know the story. We know that cartoons can be used as weapons. History tells us they've been used by the Nazi to attack the Jews. And here we are now, in the United Nations, half of the world is pushing to penalize the offense to religion. They call it the defamation of religion, while the other half of the world is fighting back in defense of freedom of speech. So the clash of civilizations is here, and cartoons are at the middle of it? This really, I mean, this got me thinking. Here you see me thinking at my kitchen table, and since you're in my kitchen, please meet my wife. In 2006, a few months after, I went to Ivory Coast, west of Africa. Now, talk of a divided place. The country was cut into. You had a rebellion in the north, the government in the south, the capital Abidjan, and in the middle, the French army. This looks like a giant hamburger. You don't want to be the ham in the middle. I was there to report on that story in cartoons. I've been doing this for the last 15 years. It's my side job, if you want. So you see, the style is different. This is more serious than maybe editorial cartooning. I went to places like Gaza during the war in 2009. So this is really journalism in cartoons. You'll hear more and more about it. This is the future of journalism, I think. And of course, I went to see the rebels in the north. Those were poor guys fighting for their rights. There was an ethnic side to this conflict, as very often in Africa. And I went to see the Dozo. The Dozo, they are the traditional hunters of West Africa. People fear them. They help the rebellion a lot. They are believed to have magical powers. They can disappear and escape bullets. I went to see a Dozo chief. He told me about his magical powers. He said, "I can chop your head off right away and bring you back to life." I said, "Well, maybe we don't have time for this right now. Another time." So, back in Abidjan, I was given a chance to lead a workshop with local cartoonists there. And I thought, yes, in a context like this, cartoons can really be used as weapons against the other side. I mean, the press in Ivory Coast was bitterly divided. It was compared to the media in Rwanda before the genocide. So imagine. And what can a cartoonist do? Sometimes editors would tell their cartoonist to draw what they wanted to see. And the guy has to feed his family, right? So the idea was pretty simple. We brought together cartoonists from all sides in Ivory Coast. We took them away from their newspaper for 3 days. And I asked them to do a project together, tackle the issues affecting their country in cartoons. Yes, in cartoons, show the positive power of cartoons. It's a great tool of communication for bad or for good. And cartoons can cross boundaries, as you have seen. And humor is a good way, I think, to address serious issues. And I'm very proud of what they did. I mean, they didn't agree with each other. That was not the point. And I didn't ask them to do nice cartoons. The first day, they were even shouting at each other. But they came up with a book, looking back at 13 years of political crisis in Ivory Coast. So the idea was there. And I've been doing projects like this in 2009 in Lebanon, this year in Kenya, back in January. In Lebanon, it was not a book. The idea was to have the same principle, a divided country, take cartoonists from all sides and let them do something together. So in Lebanon, we enrolled the newspaper editors, and we got them to publish 8 cartoonists from all sides, all together on the same page, addressing the issue affecting Lebanon, like religion in politics and everyday life. And it worked. For 3 days, almost all the newspapers of Beirut published all those cartoonists together, anti-government, pro-government, Christian, you know, Muslim, of course, English-speaking, well, you name it. So this was a great project. And then in Kenya, what we did was addressing the issue of ethnicity, which is a poison in a lot of places in Africa, and we did video clips. You can see them if you go to YouTube/KenyaToons. So preaching for freedom of speech is easy here, but as you have seen in context of repression or division, again, what can a cartoonist do? He has to keep his job. Well, I believe that in any context, anywhere, he always has the choice at least not to do a cartoon that will feed hatred. And that's the message I try to convey to them. I think we all always have the choice in the end not to do the bad thing. But we need to support these independent, critical, and responsible voices in Africa, in Lebanon, in your local newspaper, you know, on the Apple Store. You know, today, Tech companies are the world's largest editors. They decide what is too offensive or too provocative for you to see. So really, it's not about the freedom of cartoonists. It's about your freedoms. And for dictators all over the world, the good news is when cartoonists, journalists, and activists shut up.
Word has grabbed my royal ear. Have a banana. That you want to stay in the jungle.
Stay in the jungle? I sure do.
Good. And old King Louis, ba-ba-doo, ba-ba-doo, that's me, can fix it for you. Have two bananas. Have we got a deal?
Yes, sir. I'll do anything to stay in the jungle.
Well, then, I'll lay it on the line for you. Now, I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of mugging around. Oh, ooby-doo, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you. You'll see it's true. Shoo-bidi-doo. An ape like me. Scooby-dooby-dooby. Can learn to be human too. You're part of the deal, cuz. Laid a secret on me, a man's red fire.
But I don't know how to make fire.
Now don't try to kid me, man cub. I made a deal with you. What I desire is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what to do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you. I'll tear them limb from limb. I'll beat them out. Yeah. Well, man, what a beat.
Will you stop that silly beat business and listen? This will take brains, not brawn.
You better believe it, and I'm loaded with both.
Will you listen?
Oh, yeah.
Now, while you create a disturbance, I'll rescue Mowgli. Got that?
I'm gone, man. Solid gone.
Not yet, Baloo!
Hey! There's a banrone. How the beep it like a dot. Can you be it? Do sabba do the day, do bomb the book the day, so bones about bop bop it.
Abba do dee!
Will a reap a naza?
Ebba da ba doi!
Will a la ba zini?
Walla but, woodla but,
steeple that doody! Will a ha 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 ha! Get mad, baby!
Animation is a rich medium. Cartoons are a staple for visual entertainment, one that easily surpasses the long history of their studios. Some of the most recognizable characters and personalities have come from this realm, as storytellers have been telling series aimed at kids, but also more adult-oriented stories with the art form. Cartoon characters are celebrities in their own right. From their unsatiable personalities to their merchandise, these beloved animated cartoon characters have made names for themselves in popular culture, entertainment, and beyond. At their height, audiences want to both watch them and be them. Many modern-day cartoon characters have evolved with more complex character dynamics, animation styles, and storylines. In recent years, animation has influenced the viewer's visuals in gaining greater conceptual understanding, thereby facilitating their cognitive response. The animation was helpful in enhancing learning skill, food marketing, and teaching strategy. Animation is a comprehensive introduction to an animated film from cartoon to computer animation. In the common man's term, it may be described as a state of being full of life. It brings the life of inanimate objects to moving objects, thereby attracting the modern world with its features. In other words, it is a form of pictorial presentation. It has become an essential form of presenting multimedia materials for learners to understand. One of the most notable impacts of animation is the emotional response it may evoke to viewers. Whether it's joy, sadness, fear, excitement, animated media has the ability to create strong emotion and engage us to a deeper level. Animation is a form of storytelling, and stories are a crucial part of human experience. The earliest days of human history, people have used stories to make sense of the world around them, pass on knowledge and wisdom, and thus it might get connected with others. Animation takes storytelling to a new level, using visuals and sound to create rich and immersive experiences that may transport one to new places and introduce us to new characters. Beyond storytelling itself, animation uses a wide range of techniques to raise emotional responses. Animators may use color and lighting to create mood and atmosphere, or use music and sound effects to just heighten tension or excitement. To create life out of one's imagination, one needs to live their own life fully. This means taking risks, facing fears, being fully present in the human experience, for good and bad, then communicating that in the animator's work and beyond. This is a driving force behind the work of Aliki Theophilopoulos, including writing and storyboarding on hit shows like Disney's Phineas and Ferb, and developing the short series Descendants Wicked World. In her TED Talk, she explains how she draws inspiration from her own childhood.
Kind of my message throughout my talk is going to be this theme of embracing who you are, embracing the messages that we all receive in our life, and hold on to them and make them you. I think that when I first joined my industry, I was thinking like, oh, they're not going to like me because I'm the only girl in the room and I need to be cool. I need to hang with the boys. I need to, you know, tell them the same kind of jokes they're telling and almost in a way deny what made me special because I was a woman and still am, actually, I should say. So I had this great career in the feature world making these movies, and then the end of 2D animation came, and I did this 2D animation, this hand-drawn paper animation. I did the training in CG, and I found out I didn't like it. And this was sort of the first moment where I had to pay attention to myself and what my dreams truly were. And it did not include CG animation. For me, there's nothing wrong with it, but I liked to draw. So I joined the world of television animation and found that what I loved about animation most was, even more than the performances, was storytelling. And somebody at the studio encouraged me to look at my life and start creating stories from my own life. The first characters I thought of were my parents. And my parents don't look like this, but they're very opposite. They're very opposite types of characters, and I used them for my first creation. I came up with this bat and dragon. The bat has a Greek accent, and it became the short that I did for Nickelodeon. The next short I did was this one, Girls on the Go, and the main character was a Greek girl, Katerina Metropoulos, I called her. Loosely based on myself, and I got to address this issue about girls and animation and wanted to speak to girls as a woman creator. I had to become very close with this, the disaster, the mess, the stack of notes. Part of my world is really being ready for the muse. There are the times to look for the muse, and then there's the times to be ready for the muse to come. So I have notepads. I mean, that little one is next to my bed. One time I was at the spa, Burke Williams is a spa, and I was at the spa and I was getting my massage, and all of a sudden I saw this whole pilot episode for a story that I had, the whole thing, and I was like, give me some paper, I need some paper right now. And they're like, what are you doing? You're getting your massage. I'm like, I need a paper right now. So they brought me these comment cards and I wrote the whole episode, and I actually made this episode that's there on those cards. I am not a naturally brave person. I am a naturally terrified person. So the blank page is very, very scary for me. So my trick to get through this is I've developed a system that I just decide I'm going to draw the ugliest drawings that have ever been drawn, the worst notes that have ever been made, the most horrible story that's ever been created, and then I'll correct it. So this is a version from Phineas and Ferb, where we did an episode where the characters go on a quest, and I'm a huge fan of 80s quest movies, so for me, I loved this idea. So these are my actual notes that I created for the episode, and then you can see how the story evolves then to a storyboard, and then the final product, which was on the screen, that's there on the bottom. At one point, I had children, and my children started to affect my work. They started to appear in my work. And this was either, you know, what you're seeing, where I literally drew my kids, or their facial expressions, or things that they would say, or their mannerisms, or the way they would smile started to go into the characters and performances that I was creating. And then I literally sold a show to Disney Junior. It didn't move to series, but I got to learn the process of development, and it was literally based on my children. My father, when we were a kid, wrote this poem. And he's a research doctor. He's very, very smart. But my brother had poetry homework, and he was trying to help him, and he's like, you know, poetry is really not difficult. You just take some random things, you throw together some strange sentences, and you have a poem. And he's like, I'm going to prove it. So he walked away, and he came back, and he had this sheet of paper, and he's like, here's my poem. The movies are gray. The TVs are black. The horses are running. Please bring me some food. And that was it. We put that poem into an episode of Phineas and Ferb. And you can see the clip if you look online. At one point, Disney approached me with this amazing challenge, and that was to take a live-action movie that they had called Descendants, and they asked me to create an animated version. For me, this was a dream because, as I've mentioned, I've had this desire to create female characters and communicate with girls, not just the boy audiences, which is typically what's done where I'm from. And we had a character that was the daughter of Jeannie. And I was the biggest I Dream of Jeannie fan when I was a kid. So this was an opportunity, again, to take things that I love, things that matter to me, and express them in my work. And so I came up with Jeannie Chic. The characters actually got to wear these Jeannie outfits, which later became a doll line. And why I wanted to bring up this one particular example is because when we are our most authentic selves, when we create from a place that is truest to ourselves, truest to our life experiences, that is when something is so real and so unique that it becomes something very special. There's no other you in this world. There's no other you in this world. There's no other me in this world. So spending my time trying to draw like somebody else, be like somebody else, you know, act like somebody else, whether it's professionally or personally, is a waste of time. I'm never going to be happy that way. When I live authentically, when I create authentically, my life becomes something so true and so real that it becomes something special. And then you guys, the audience, gets to connect with that too. How amazing is that? But I don't do it alone. My job is very much about collaboration. We work together in teams, and we help make our ideas better by working with each other. Art imitating life. We had an episode on Phineas and Ferb where the evil scientists created this machine that would make moms stop what they're doing and come do this evil thing. And so we decided, I'm a mom, let's put me doing my job. And I ended up in the episode. There I am. I want to mention social media. I love social media. I'm a huge fan of social media. What I think is so wonderful about it is this opportunity to connect all over the world, to connect with people that I maybe normally wouldn't get to meet, and we get to share each other's lives together in this fun, safe place. And it also is a way for me, my work is audience dependent. I don't work in a corner in my house. I'm not putting something even in a gallery. The things that I create are all about connecting with audiences everywhere. So this is my chance to see what you love, what you connect with, what inspires you, and it also helps me understand the character of me. I'm a person who spends a lot of time in my imagination and in sort of fantasy world, so it's a fun way to force me to stay present in my day and see, you know, what do I want to share about my life? What do I want to force myself to notice? But we must look up. We must be present in our life, too. Social media is not an excuse to not have our own life. We must be in our life, and then we have this fun way to express. Being in our life means being in the bad days, too. And I wanted to bring up this example because so much of what we do as animators and in our work is being in touch with our feelings and our real, the real moments in our life so that we can communicate that in the work that we make and you feel it when you watch the movies. I have a little character that I've been working on, and she's the daughter of Medusa and Poseidon. So she's half god, half monster, and it's very much, it came from a very personal place of me growing up in my Greek family in the Southern California surfer town, feeling like a total weirdo misfit. And so I got to take my life experience, my personal life experience, and put it into this character. I was having a really bad day, and so I decided to pick this scene and do this scene first from my storyboard so I could put how I was feeling into the drawings. And she has this moment where she's been kind of made fun of. Everything's gone wrong. Her boss makes her put a hairnet on because she's working at a human yogurt shop. So she comes out disappointed, and she's very sad. And she looks up, and she slumps down. And then she just says, well, guys, I don't think things could get any worse. And they wrap around her, and they comfort her in the moment. So it's just a very special, heartfelt moment to put into the work. We can draw our joy. Sorry, the clicker's getting stuck. The feelings of getting ready for a first date. Minnie is, you know, she loves Mickey, and she's excited about this date. And I added this thing to her character that maybe she tends to go overboard, and she puts too much perfume on and gets into trouble. I love the movie Kung Fu Panda 3 because it really was about this theme about being true to yourself. If you're a dragon warrior, be the best, most awesome dragon warrior ever, you could ever be. And so sort of the theme here is to get a life. Be in your life. Make your life what you want it to be. But be true to yourself. I want to end with a story about my daughter. My daughter, my son wanted to play baseball, and my daughter said, Mommy, I want to play baseball too. And I said, of course you can. You can do anything you want to do. We got to the field. She was the only girl there, and she was terrified. She started shaking, and she started to cry, and she said, Mommy, I'm the only girl here. What if the boys don't like me? What if I'm not good? And what if maybe dads don't want to come watch the girls play, and maybe they're going to make fun of me? And she was so afraid, and I said, you know what, Ruby? Mommy has been the only girl in the room before. Mommy has been afraid before. Mommy has had a desire and a dream and something that she wanted to do and was scared. But you know what? Your fear doesn't have to stop you from being who you want to be and trying things you want to try. I believe in you, and you can do it. She got out there on that field crying. I mean, crying. She never hit a ball. She went running on the field. She went out to catch. She got smacked in the face. And I was crying watching her. I mean, it was just like, oh, my baby. But I was so impressed by her because she didn't run away. She didn't ask to go home. She didn't leave the field. She didn't quit. Even though she was afraid and crying and having all these feelings, she stood out there and she gave it her all. And I was so inspired by that because what it really showed me is not only in my work and in my life and in my friends, whatever, but in my own home, by me being brave, by me being authentic, by me being my truest self, I have this opportunity to give that gift to my children. And who knows how she is going to contribute in the world from walking through that scary moment in her life. So our greatest gift to the universe is to be our most self, our truest self in all areas, to create the life that is right for us. And then we get to express that big ways, small ways, whether you're an animator or a mother or a worker or a friend, you have this opportunity by being your most you, but to directly impact the world in the way that I believe you are meant to do so. We all have that.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist,
hey!
Or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it.
Characters may be designed with specific facial design and body language that may convey emotion, and it helps one to connect into a deeper level.
Little town, it's a quiet village. Every day, like the one before. Little town, full of little people, waking up to say,
bonjour,
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 bonjour.
There goes the baker with his tray, like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same, since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town.
Good morning, pal.
Morning, monsieur.
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story about a beanstalk and an ogre and
that's nice. Marie! The baguettes! Hurry up!
Look, there she goes. That girl is strange, no question.
Never part of any crowd.
Cause her head's up on some cloud.
No denying she's a funny girl, that bell.
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your family?
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your wife? I need 6 eggs.
That's too expensive.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Ah, Belle.
Another important factor of the emotional impact of animation is nostalgia. Many of us grew up watching classical animated films like Beauty and the Beast. These movies hold a special space in our hearts. When we visit these films as adults, we just go through a lot of emotion and memories that may be very powerful. The emotional connection to animated media may impact our behavior in various ways. It may influence movies we prefer to watch or the products we prefer to buy. One may seek out animated media ways to connect to others who may share our love for these kinds of stories. In the emotional impact of animation, there are a number of physiological principles and theories at play in the way animated media is created and received. As for example, social learning theory suggests that we learn by observing and by just imitating others. Animated media may just serve as a powerful element for teaching these behaviors. Children in particular may learn social skills and values from animated characters and storylines. Cognitive dissonance is another important factor that may be observed in animation. Animated media may challenge our assumptions and beliefs, forcing us to reconsider our perspectives and potentially leading to personal growth and development. One of the best aspects of animation is the way it uses elements to impart message and emotions, from shape and character to the color palette of the film itself of animated media. For example, characters with exaggerated facial features or body proportions may be more memorable and engaging to viewers. So next time you watch an animated movie, think again why a character makes you emotional or angry. Why their bright colors might make you feel a sense of joy and excitement, while dark colors may create a more sober or serious tone.
Just watch, I'm going to make Belle my wife.
There she goes, a girl who's strange but special, a most peculiar mademoiselle. It's a pity and a sin, she doesn't quite fit him. She really is a funny girl, a beauty but a funny girl. She really is a funny girl.
I'm Katerina Badzajki. Join us next week in another of our infinitely curious programs of ERT and The Voice of Greece. Meanwhile, it is important to keep those animated celebrities alive and animators yearning to create more of them, because they will never fail to keep us forever in touch with our innocence and the child inside us. There is nothing wrong in remaining children for as long as we live. And I will quote famous Walt Disney's duck cartoonist Carl Barks, who says that, "I've always looked upon the ducks as caricature human beings. There is no difference between my characters and the life my readers were going to have to face."
I'm gonna be a mighty king, so enemies beware.
Well, I've never seen a king of beasts with quite so little hair.
King was before. I'm brushing up, I'm looking down, I'm working on my
board. Ah, thus far, rather an inspiring thing.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
You have a long way to go, young master, if you think.
No one's saying do this.
Now, when I said that,
no one's saying be there.
What?
No one's saying stop that.
What you don't
no
realize?
No one's saying see here.
Now, see here. Definitely out.
Free to do it all my way.
I think it's time that you and I arranged a heart-to-heart.
Kings don't need advice from little Orville's four star.
If this is where the monarchy is headed, count me out. Out of service, out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. This child is getting wildly out.